Okay, good morning and welcome to Shakedown Shan. And now the host of the show, Shannon Murphy.
Hey guys, welcome back. It's been a little while, but I am now back from my, I guess you would call it maternity leave from the show. I don't officially get off maternity leave for work purposes until October, but I figured I'd come back a little bit early for a show. How have you been doing?
I've been doing great. Back to work, driving the kids to school, and that's going okay. Other than that, over the summer, and was hanging around the house quite a bit, only going to the grocery store, and, you know, still mostly doing that except for work. So, I don't know. I got my flu shot. Did you?
No, I don't get the flu shot.
Oh, you don't? Well, you're still young enough, you know.
Yeah, I don't feel like I really need it yet. Maybe when I'm old and, like, I don't know.
Yeah, like when you're 30.
Maybe.
Oh, dear.
No, I probably wait a while.
Okay.
I do a lot of, like, activities and things like that, so I keep my body going pretty good.
Keep your immune system up. Well, that's good.
Yeah, we just, we hiked Hadley Mountain Sunday.
You did?
Yeah, we did the baby's first hike.
Neat. I know you enjoy hiking, so that's pretty good that you can still keep doing it.
Yep, I have a baby wrap, so I just wear him on the front of me, and he slept the whole way up. He was awake for maybe 20 minutes up there, and then he slept the whole way down except the last 3 minutes.
Wow, that's doing pretty good.
Yeah, as long as he's in this wrap, he sleeps okay. But other than that, he does not want anything to do with, like, the bassinet or the crib. He doesn't really like the swing, and he's not a big fan of the car either.
Really? A lot of kids...
No, he just wants to be held all the time.
Yeah, a lot of babies find the car soothing, though, you know? I know.
Yeah, Noah was like that. They're two completely different people. They're so opposite of each other.
Well, that's how kids usually are. You know, my one daughter was like colicky, and she would cry all the time all night. And you'd turn the fan on, put her on the stove with the fan on. That would quiet, and the stove was off, by the way. But the fan would kind of, you know, mellow her out for about 5 minutes. Then she'd start screaming again. I'd have to take her for a ride around the blocks a couple times. And this is like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And so she had a tough time. But, you know, she outgrew it when she was 15. So I had to stop putting her on the stove when she was 15, so then she went to sleep by herself. But anyway, no, and my other daughter, the second one, she was just the opposite. Put her down at night for sleep, and boom, she was out.
Yeah, Noah slept on his own fairly early and easily, and Caleb wants nothing to do with it. He wants to sleep with us. He sleeps good at night, though, when he sleeps with us. He'll do like 5-6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't cry a lot as long as he's fed and you're holding him. But if you're not holding him, he's pretty upset.
Well, he'll have to get over that,
too. But he does
too.
Like the boat. We've gone on the boat a few times. Seems to like that. Yeah, but you can hold him on the boat, so that's the difference, I guess.
Yeah. Well, he'll outgrow that, or you'll have to start weaning him off being so dependent, you know.
Yeah.
Hard thing to do.
Enjoying it for now.
I know. Hard thing to do for a mother, but, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much taken up your life since the baby was born, right?
Yep. Just with him constantly. But Noah started homeschooling with the Ron Paul curriculum, and that's been going really good. He enjoys it. I enjoy it. It's cool. Some days he's done with school by 9. Some days he's there till 1. It depends if he's doing a writing assignment. His writing assignments take a long time for him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only on Fridays. And so the rest of the week he is usually done fairly early.
Well, that's good to challenge them, you know, at least one day a week, you know what I mean, to get into a routine where it's a little longer, because as mm-hmm. as he gets older, it probably almost every day is going to be a little bit longer, so that's good.
Yeah, it depends how long his courses are that day. Sometimes they're short, sometimes they're long.
Right.
But he's been wanting to get up at like 5.
You're
and
kidding.
Get on for school, which I don't make him get up until 8. I'm like, you should be up by 8, and then I want you to start classes by 9. But he's been wanting to get up at like 5 or 6 and start right away.
My goodness.
And I'm just like, well, that's not the point of being homeschooled, but.
No, and then when he gets to be.
He's just excited to get it done.
Oh, yeah, and then when he gets to be a teenager, he won't want to get up until noon. So.
Right.
Yeah, wow.
And I'm back with Milan now, so that's been interesting seeing how his school's handling COVID-style school schedule.
Okay. Now, what year
is
he in?
It's been weird. He is in school, like, 2 days a week, and then at home the other 3.
Okay.
But one of those 3, he doesn't have to, like, check into classes at a certain time. It's just all, like, directed, like, they have assignments to do that day by themselves or something. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Now, what grade is he in?
He's a senior.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's
yep, so
good.
This is his last year. And maybe, if I'm lucky, I'll be able to stay with him through college. I think he's going to go for 2 years to a community college or something.
Oh, that's good.
That would be nice. But we're doing it all virtually, so we don't have to go down there.
Well, that's good, too. I mean, you know, this whole year has been a nightmare. Just, you know, how it's affected people's lives. It's almost like this year is, I don't know. I just can't wait to get rid of it, you know, when everything settles down.
Did you see that the CDC just came out recently with an article about the use of masks and how the way that COVID is spread through the air, mm-hmm. how that was all information that was a draft and that was not meant to be released because they didn't have enough information on it and it might not have been right?
Well, you know, I've been hearing a lot of different things from the CDC, and even
right.
in the beginning, you know, I mean, it's nice to play Monday morning quarterback, you know,
mm-hmm.
but you know, the facts and that were evolving constantly, you know, what was
right,
it, what
and they
wasn't
still
good,
are.
And they still are, and not to get into politics right now, but you know, everybody's blaming President Trump, not everybody, but a lot of people are blaming President Trump for the way he handled it. Well, he was going along with what the scientists said, but they kept changing their mind every 2 weeks.
Right.
So,
and honestly,
tough.
If the people of the United States are looking to the president for health information
mm-hmm.
and advice,
right,
something is wrong with us. Because he's not a doctor, he's not an expert. Maybe, you know, we and the businesses should make our own informed decisions based on the science.
Well, a lot of people, though, want the government for everything, you know, so they can complain. But, you know,
right.
what was amazing is when this started to really explode, I mean, the national stockpiles of PPE equipment was next to nothing. And he ramped up businesses like card manufacturers and all other kinds of businesses to switch over production and start making ventilators and PPE equipment and all this. And we got it. And, I mean, it may not have been instantaneously, but as time-wise to produce goes, we got them pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just think that you're right. You can't blame one person for what happened. I mean, plus he was finding it tough to deal with states because they threatened to sue him because the states have their own rights.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I mean, it's like New York. They had one of the biggest, and they were running out of hospital space, so he sent that ship there, and they turned the Javits Center into a COVID hospital, and the ship wasn't even an eighth full of patients. And the
Javits Center, I remember that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I feel being in New York, and that's where we heard most of the stuff on TV every day from the governor, that, you know, we were in such dire straits, which New York City was, but they had options that they didn't use. So, mm-hmm. you know, it just makes you wonder, you know, what the real story was.
Right. And, I mean, it's something that we're not going to find out for, like, years to come still. And, I mean, I guess we'll have to see when the dust settles how much of it was overreaction, how much of it was not enough action, and how much of it was false information based on not having enough information, and how much of it actually helped.
Well, exactly. And I think another piece of that is how many deaths were reported as COVID and not really COVID, because for a COVID patient, they could get more money. The hospitals got more money. Like, there was an incident in Texas where they found 29 people they reported as COVID deaths. They had to reverse because they weren't COVID. And then one person they said died of COVID was shot in the head. Mm-hmm. So it's like things like that it's going to take a long time to figure out, but I mean, it's bad. It was bad. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
there's
definitely.
there's a lot of things that play into the equation.
Yeah, and like how you deal with it and stuff. I mean, the fallout from this and our reaction to it is going to last a decade, I think, with all the business shutdowns and stuff. And that's not going to be something you can measure right away. You're going to have to wait and see how that affects people's lives and the economy and everything.
Well, I agree.
And that's going to take a while to get those statistics.
Well,
but on
take...
the plus side, we're allowed to trick-or-treat this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know
as
he
of
changed
right now.
It, but you can go door-to-door?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what.
As of right now.
All right.
But it could change any day, knowing
I'm
Cuomo.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure with Cuomo it will. But I'm surprised, though. I'll bet you it's like everything else, though. You know, even though the restaurants are open, there's not a lot of people that go to the restaurants. And I'll bet you Halloween, people will stick pretty close to home in their neighborhoods because people are still afraid, you know. I mean, it's... I still have parents on my run that I take kids to school that aren't sending their children to school. They're doing virtual learning, which is difficult in the special ed schools because usually most of that's hands-on, either physical therapy or, you know, the children just can't stay in their seat all the time. So it's going to be different. For quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, the CDC recommends that you don't go door-to-door trick-or-treating, but Cuomo says as of right now he's not going to ban it because he's afraid of how people are going to react if he does, which doesn't make any sense to me because we couldn't go to 4th of July and see fireworks, where we could have stayed away from people seeing the fireworks, but we're allowed to go to people's houses and knock on doors and touch the candy that they're touching.
I know it.
So it doesn't make sense to me. None of it makes sense to me.
No, and you gotta say this too. I mean, some of the crowds that the president's had in his speeches where he goes to the different states, you know, there may be a couple thousand people there, and half of them are wearing masks and the other half aren't. But how many people were protesting since Memorial
Day? I mean, people are going to go do whatever they feel comfortable doing.
Exactly.
And,
And
If
here you
people
have.
are really that scared, they're not going to go trick or treating or 4th of July or anything like that, like big crowds. So.
Oh, exactly. And I said that to my wife. I said, when movie theaters open up, those movie theaters won't be full.
No, not at all.
I think people are just a little bit nervous and they'll want to get through the winter. And if there's no big reoccurrence, then I think you'll start to see more and more people get back together. Because, you know, I look at pictures of baseball back after the Spanish flu. And the stands were full, but they were wearing, like, kerchiefs over their faces. But the stadiums were full of people. So, and they didn't have a big reoccurrence of that. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I've already seen the effect on restaurants because I'll go eat at Davidson's or something and just talk to my coworkers there because I haven't gone back to work there yet. And they're saying that, I mean, it's not confirmed that they're going to do this yet, but they're talking about having to shut down for the winter just because they lost so much summer business and that's what carries them through the winter.
Okay.
That they don't have enough to carry them through the winter. And other than that, people are starting to not come out as much because it is getting colder. You can't sit outside at night. You have to go inside, and people don't really want to go inside.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's a lot of restaurants down here, and I shouldn't say a lot because I don't know the number, but I've heard from about three or four people that work there that the restaurants are closing down Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays, and they're going to only be open Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and then they're open from Wednesday to Saturday.
Yes, Davidson's is closed Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, because they figure if there's not going to be at least half full, why keep all that staff on in that? And
right.
And like you said, it's going to be a little while before people feel comfortable. And plus the fact that I think restaurants now can only have, are they still at 25%? Or did they go up to 50?
I think it's 50% up here, and they just have to be 6 feet apart.
Okay.
Or have some kind of division between them. But yeah.
So that's hard.
That's
hard for restaurants too. I mean, if you only can have 50% of a crowd and you had a lousy summer, you still can't make it up.
No.
And imagine the Christmas parties that you won't be able to have because usually there's a lot of people at them and you won't be able to do that. So, I mean, restaurants are going to hurt for quite a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where I'm even questioning if I'm going to have a job to go back to next month there.
Right. Well, I know.
Because, I mean, they got to give their full-time employees that have been there for years every hour they can give them. So I might not even have a place yet until next summer.
Well, you can collect unemployment, and if they pass another extension of this, the extra bonus, you'll get that too. You know?
Yeah. Did you hear what New York is doing with what they did with some kind of lost wage program?
What was that?
They went back to like 3 weeks in August and handed out $300 for each of those weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got approval to do another 3 weeks of that. So they're like up to somewhere in September. And I think that's all they got approval for, but they were trying to do $300 a week until December, but I don't think that got approved.
No, and it couldn't because I got that myself before I went back to work. Because I've been out of work since the middle of March when school let out. But what happened was that they can't see, Congress won't approve a bill unless the Republicans agree to a $3 trillion bill, and the Republicans won't do that because they said, you know, the debt is going up, and they want so many things in that bill that doesn't pertain to COVID.
Right, and the last one, I think it was either the last bill or the first bill, I think it was the first one, They gave, I can't remember, I think it was like 1 trillion or so. I took a screenshot of it and I don't remember what it said, but they gave a bunch of money to the Pentagon
Yep.
for COVID spending to implement guidelines and stuff there. And instead, the Pentagon spent it on defense equipment like missiles and jet
Okay.
fuel
Yeah.
assistance.
Well, then they gave money
So a
to
whole bunch
like.
of our taxpayer money just went to that instead of what it was used for. And
Well,
that's
sure.
always a good representation of how the government works.
And then they gave money to like this Kennedy Center for Arts, all right? I think 35 million. Not why that has anything to do with it, but it was supposed to be to pay their employees, you know, through a couple months or whatever, through the pandemic. And what they ended up doing when they got the money, they fired their employees. So I mean, you don't need programs like that. If they needed a PPE loan because of, you know, they wanted to retain their employees, that's fine. But there was a lot of stuff in there, just like this one that they want to pass. You know, they want a study for electric cars and,
Yeah, they want too, they're asking for too
well, you
much.
don't need that, right? So they're holding out. So what happened was President Trump took $500 million, I think it was, from one of the departments. I forget what it was. And he made it available to the states to pay out $300, you know, because they never wanted to pay that $600 anyway to the Republicans. But so anyway, the states had to apply for it and get approved. And like there's a couple of states like South Dakota where the governor said we don't need it. Our employment is still high, and you know, we got a lot of jobs that people are going back to. But New York was one of them. So from the last week in July, when that 600 ran out, through the, what was it, the first week of September, they got $300 each week from the federal government. So I mean, you know, and that, then it now it stopped. But yeah, so I mean, it's crazy. But you know, when they had that $600 and people started going back to work, there were people that didn't want to go back to work because they were making more money.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that didn't want to go.
Yeah, and that's not right. I mean, you know, you
No,
should,
it's not.
if you need
That's
help.
the problem with these stimulus checks. They are with good intentions, you could say. Although I do not put it past anyone in the government that it was done with bad intentions, knowing well enough that it would decentivize working, because that's what they always seem to do.
Right.
I mean, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say it was done with good intentions to help people, but it really didn't in the long run.
No. Well, there were a bunch of senators that, see, they were pressured to have to do something when the country closed down, but there were some
Oh yeah,
senators like,
definitely. I get that.
yeah, like Lindsey Graham and a couple other senators, they said you shouldn't make more than you did at the job you were on. So
Right, that was a big issue.
get paid for what you were paid at your job, because even if you were working, you wouldn't make any more than that. So, but you know, a certain side wants to make big government, and they did.
Have you been following the Supreme Court appointee
Yes.
news?
Yes, I have. Very.
I keep seeing all over social media, typically feminists and left-leaning people who are so like saddened over the death of Ruth Ginsburg. And just it seems weird to me that it's like people my age mostly that I'm seeing this from. And they probably really don't know much about her. I'm not going to say all of them don't know, because I'm sure there are some people who maybe studied her in school or something like that and do know something about her. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say most of those people probably don't know too much about what she's done other than what they hear from people, just that she's done a lot for the women's rights movement and stuff and for feminism. So they're going to be like, oh yeah, good person. We are very sad that she's gone. But people are like really upset that she passed away. And I heard a good argument made on a podcast that I listened to. I think it was Part of the Problem, where they said in Obama's terms, she could have retired knowing that she was so old mm-hmm. and might not have made it through the next president. She could have retired and let Obama appoint somebody, you know, leftist, for her spot. So that way wouldn't be up in what was most likely going to be a Republican president's term.
Right. No, you're right.
So some people are speculating that, like, she was being selfish about that, that she should have known, or if she really cared about her legacy and, like, the agenda of feminism and leftism and statism, that she should have retired and let Obama appoint someone for her spot.
You're right. She could have retired in the beginning of his second term because she had cancer and, you know, she wasn't well, even though she kept mm-hmm. coming back. But I think she was selfish, and now she's in a position where she didn't. I mean, she should have retired last year, really, because she couldn't make a lot of the arguments. She had to do it over the phone. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to wait and see if a Democrat would win, you know, after Trump got out. But the only thing that I hear, well, one of the things I heard about her was this attorney or judge had said that she's going to be remembered most of what she did before she was on the Supreme Court as a lower
court
justice.
She's a lawyer or something.
Right. And she's going to be known more for that and her work during there than she was on the Supreme Court. But anyway,
yeah.
I mean,
when I was looking into her, it was all like pre-Supreme Court stuff that
right.
she was known for.
Right. And so now the big thing is that, you know, Trump's going to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and they're saying, well, you should wait until after the election because 4 years ago you wouldn't approve Obama's late term appointment. And but I guess when they looked at history, there were 19 times in the late term of an election year that the party that is in the office, like a Republican, and the party that holds the Senate, which is Republican now, and it happened Democrat president and Democrat Senate, that they appoint someone and they don't wait until after the election. And 18 of those 19 times, the justice has been approved. So the last time, 4 years ago, when Obama did it, you had a Democrat president and a Republican Senate, and they had like 15 times that happened, and only two times did the judge get appointed. So, I mean, history's in the side of having the same party control both and having a judge up for election. So, and if you remember 4 years ago, all the Democrats, Schumer, Pelosi, and them were arguing you should vote on a Supreme Court justice that Obama chooses, and now they're saying you shouldn't. And the same thing with the Republicans. They wouldn't do it last time.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it's because the president was a Democrat and it was a Republican Congress or a Senate. So now it's mm-hmm. the same, and that usually works out. So it's going to be interesting because he's going to appoint a woman, and I guess she was a really good judge, you know, a till this point. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be an interesting scenario. But, I mean, even if they appointed a liberal judge to replace her, it still wouldn't, I mean, it still would be 5-4, you know, 4 liberals and 5 conservatives. But if you've noticed in the last 3 or 4 years, some of the conservative judges have voted with the liberal judges. So it's, you know, it's not a straight 5-4 all the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And then they're saying they're going to impeach Trump over this, and then they're going to pack the court. They're going to I don't know. We're in a terrible state, I'll tell you.
Right. I also keep seeing a bunch of like political cartoons where from the right, you will see the cartoons are Kamala and Biden and a bunch of things burning and cars wrecked. And then from the left, you see Trump in like the same kind of background. And so it's just funny to me how divided we are as a country, that each side thinks the opposite side is going to result in destruction, but theirs won't.
Right.
And I'm seeing this all as, I don't care who wins. No matter who wins, we're going to have riots.
Oh yeah, we're going to have riots.
Because it's not Trump's America that's going to be burning down. It's not Biden's America that's going to be burning down. It has nothing to do with because one of them won and one of them didn't. It has to do with we are so divided as a country that no matter who's up there, things are getting destroyed.
Yep.
Because we're in such of a state of unrest, and we're in this my side versus your side issue, and people are violent and radicalized. And I'm trying to prepare for that future, that come election day, if we end up getting somebody on election day, because I don't know with mail-in voting,
yeah,
if there's gonna be some kind of issue and they're gonna delay it or something, the result. But come the time a president is announced, if it's Trump, we're going to have riots, and if it's Biden, we're gonna have riots. People are gonna be mad one way or another,
yeah.
And it's not all gonna be happy-go-lucky as soon as the election's over.
No, because look at the riots that we've had all summer, all spring and summer. They haven't been about any issue. The peaceful protests may have been about an issue, but the riots have been anarchist. I mean, would you destroy minority businesses in a city that you live in? Would you burn out businesses of minority owners that won't be able to go back to work again in your own neighborhoods? No. The peaceful protest.
I wouldn't say it's anarchist. I would say it's just bad people. There may be people using the name of anarchy, but to paint the whole anarchist as that, because that's not what anarchy is about.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is make a point to take over. I mean, you don't defund the police. You don't defund the police, and then a month later wonder where the police are, like in Minneapolis. And mm-hmm. when you have polls, nationwide polls, to say even blacks, I mean, among blacks and Latinos and whites, they want more police. I mean, these are sane people. They want more police.
Right, but these people that are rioting and stuff, they are just sick opportunists. They're just taking advantage of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say that they're anarchists. I mean, anarchists stay far away from government and issues like these. They don't believe in government. They don't want anyone to rule over anybody.
Well, I think that's what
they're
doing.
They just
want
to be left alone.
Well, I think that's what they're doing. They're destroying. They don't want the government to tell them what to do. I mean,
right,
you know,
but anarchists aren't typically left-leaning either. These people that are rioting are, like, severely left, and they're destructive, and that's just not what anarchy is about. Anarchy is about living peacefully among other people without ruling over each other.
Well, I don't know what you would call it, but I mean, with our there's no more Democrat base anymore. You're either a moderate, which there's not many, or you're it's getting more extreme left all the time. I mean, I thought AOCD and the Gang of Five were an aberration, that when people saw what they were doing, they wouldn't win another term. The people of their area would vote them out. But instead, it's the opposite. There's more of their type being elected, more radical left being elected in other states. And that's kind of a scary thing, because, you know, they're saying the voice behind the Democrat Party now is AOC, which I don't find that to be the truth, but I think her power is rising, because...
Oh, definitely, especially since most of them don't even want Biden.
Right.
And they're going to start using younger, more radicalized people to be the voice of their platform, because Biden's definitely not going to be the voice for the platform. He's moderate.
Well, yeah, moderate to more going left, maybe not radical left. But
right.
Biden's even attacking Bernie Sanders now. The other day in a speech, I mean, he said he defeated socialism. And then he said, you know, Bernie was a socialist. And so he's starting to go off the wagon, too. I mean, the debates are going to be interesting to see how he does.
He's not going to do well.
I don't think so. I mean, the other day...
I mean, if he can even try to debate Trump, I mean, we already saw what he did to Hillary Clinton. Imagine what he's going to do to Biden. I mean, Trump is... He doesn't hold back. He says whatever he wants. He has no filter. And I know a lot of people don't like that. I don't necessarily care for someone in that position to have no filter, but at the same time, I think it's hilarious because he'll call you out.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what. And, I mean, he's a troll. He's just going to troll Biden, and Biden's going to get caught up in it and not know what to say and make a fool of himself.
Well, he's already...
And honestly, it would be in the Democrats' best interest to keep him away from debate.
Oh, I know. I know it. I mean, when he was in his basement and never came out, his numbers were very good. I mean, see, I don't really think it mattered who the Democrat nominee was going to be. That I don't think that means a thing. I think people that they just don't like Trump. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, that's what
Democrats.
This is all about. They can't believe that somebody like him is there.
Right. So you.
If it had been somebody like Ted Cruz, or I can't even remember who was running, if it had been somebody other than Trump, we wouldn't have had all this outrage and all this ridiculousness the past 4 years.
Right. Well, and, you know, the sad thing about it was that we had all this ridiculousness as things were getting done. But I think the when he was saying that, because see, he didn't care who he offended. I mean, if he believed that he wants to do something for the good, he'll bull his way through. He doesn't play political games, and they don't like that. I mean, that upsets the whole political system if you don't play the game. And I mean, look at what he really did for the country. I mean, he did a lot of good. But, and I mean, Democrats tried right before he got elected with all the spying on the campaign, and then the Mueller report, the thing with Russia, and then the impeachment. I mean, they had something him doing all the time during his administration. So that built up a lot of hate, but it also built up a lot of support for Trump, because the Democrats were just doing everything they could all the time. And so this is a mandate on, do you like Trump or don't you like Trump? And
exactly.
I think there's a lot of people out there that have already made, pretty much everybody's made their mind up already. But I think what it's going to be is if you say that you're for Joe Biden, you don't get really repercussions. But if you say you're for Donald Trump, there's people that'll do some wacky things. So I think a lot of people aren't saying.
And even if you don't say anything, if you just criticize, if you criticize Biden on one thing or the left on something, you're automatically a Trump supporter in their eyes, whether or not you have stated you support Trump or not.
Right.
And I know I get it all the time. I'll criticize the left or Biden or Kamala Harris or somebody. And all of a sudden, I'm getting called a Nazi Trump supporter. It's like, I don't even support Trump.
Mm-hmm. No,
I'm totally third party, don't really even like political parties. And I'm just going to call out left, right, center, whoever, when they're doing something that I don't support. But it just seems to be that the left does a little bit more than the right usually
right.
does.
I mean, the right usually don't attack people in restaurants or whatever. But on the other hand, my point was that I think there's a lot of Trump supporters out there who don't say anything because they're afraid they'll get really in trouble for it. So I think his support is bigger than what people think it is. Like it was in 2016. Nobody thought he would win.
Right. All the polls said Hillary was going to win, and this is why polls are totally unreliable.
Yeah.
And I just, we'll see what happens. Speaking of presidential candidates, I'm not too happy with the Libertarian candidate. At first, I was kind of on board with her. And I still like that she supports a lot of the issues that I care about in a good way. But she has been pandering to these riots and these protests. And like saying we should stand with Black Lives Matter. And I'm okay with, I think that the idea of Black Lives Matter is great. Yes, they do matter. But at the same time, an issue with these riots.
Yep. No, I agree.
And the vandalism. But she's been pretty much on board with these, and I don't like that about her.
Well, why is it that we can't, you know, there was only one third-party candidate when Russ Perot was running that really had a good shot of being elected because he took a lot of votes away from Democrat and Republicans, but the third party doesn't seem to grab hold, and I don't understand why, because there's so many people disenfranchised with Democrat and Republicans and their independents, but what that means, I have no clue. I'm an independent, but I'm still socially conservative and financial conservative. But why can't a third party make inroads into the political system? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, they don't get debate time like the Democrats and Republicans do. They have to petition to get on ballots, so it's ballot access, debate access, media coverage, those play against them largely. And then it's also just, I know the libertarian movement messaging is an issue. Like, they'll go up there and say they want to cut taxes and cut this program and that program, and that just scares people right away. They need to change their tactic to talking about why people are going through hard times, like why millennials can't buy houses, why college costs too much. And they got to start with that issue of college being too expensive and then going down the rabbit hole with people to then explain to them that it's because of government interference in the prices and handing out loans to anybody that wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you just say, stop all these programs, and they get scared.
Yeah.
But they don't really start with the problem and why, and then lead to that why. They just start with the why.
You're right, but I think they're going to have to do something if they want to be taken seriously, and there's a way to market that. They just need the right people, I think, with money to market that. Because you can talk about the school systems and what they're teaching, what they're indoctrinating their kids in, what you pay a lot of money to go to college, and what the professors are teaching them. You know, those are some really key issues, I think. And I don't know. I remember when Ross Perot ran, and I mean, he was a serious contender. He got a lot of press. And, of course, this was back in the days before the internet, too. But I don't know. It's a crazy thing.
I feel like also the Libertarian Party tries to please everybody, and so when they do that, they end up pleasing nobody, because when they start trying to please the left, they lose some of their right base. When they start trying to please the right, they start losing their left base. When they try to stay center, nobody's happy.
Right. But there's got to be a marketing tool that can be used to kind of overcome that. And I think professionals can do that. And it's not going to happen in a year or 2 years or 3 years. But in all honesty, we're wasting time, because the way the country's getting, we need a new message. And darn it, they should be doing something.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in the Libertarian Party with presidential candidates.
Yeah.
But
well, even local. I mean, you know, sometimes it starts out in the local, too. I mean, you got to put up candidates to have a good message, to have a good marketing team behind them, and with a strong message, like you said, you'll upset some of the people if you go lean one way or the other, but get a message that'll resonate with people. And then once you get in office, even if you have to do something that you believe is right, and it works out, people will start to come around. You know what I mean? But they've got to have something, and they got to have a message that'll hit people. And I don't know. We need a third party.
Definitely. They just got to get their stuff together. There's too much infighting in the Libertarian Party. They're more concerned about what everyone's doing inside the party rather than bringing in new people, unfortunately.
Really? Yeah, that's
too sad, yeah.
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean,
there's a lot of fighting in between caucuses, and it's honestly really immature and turns me off a lot.
Well, you know what that needs is it needs a Ross Perot, that somebody has that has somebody with money that can that can galvanize the party. I mean, you can't have these small groups of people keeping everybody upset. You need somebody strong I keep getting a phone call. Can you hear the phone? Oh, man. So anyway, you need somebody strong. I can't. And just to galvanize the party. I mean, you just can't have people doing this stuff, you know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be something, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what the October surprises and then how the election turns out from it.
Exactly. I think that's how you're going to have to do it. But we're going to have to do something, because if we keep going from cycle to cycle and it keeps getting worse and worse, I mean, I don't know how much longer democracy can last, you know. So I don't know. It's a goofy time we're living in.
It is.
So what else?
I think I'm gonna probably cut it there.
Okay.
Just because the baby's waking up.
All right. Well, you got to cut it there. So, you know, I'll be in touch with you because we can get going back on the phone podcast. I do have Wednesdays off, and if that doesn't work, Saturdays will be fine. So it's always good to talk to you and hear your opinions.
And then maybe I can leave the baby home with Joey one day and get into the studio.
That would be great because it'd be good to see you. So, your opinions always count. So that's great. All right.
All right, well, I'll see you next time.
All right, Shannon, thank you very much, and we'll look forward to the next time.
All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.